DW.
It's just after 6 a.m. in Borgo Armada, a sleepy town in central Italy. The Indian shop, stocked with exotic spices, imported beer and piles of ginger from China, is still shuttered up. Outside, groups of men, two or three at a time, congregate quietly, then cycle off down the road. Shadows in bright yellow and orange vests, small bags slung across their shoulders, they disappear into the distance down the narrow lanes that lead to the lush fields surrounding the town. There they will spend the hot, sunny day picking radishes, plums and zucchinis, fruit and vegetables destined for supermarkets all across Europe. Many of the men are Sikhs from rural Punjab in northern India. As many as 18,000 of them work in Latina, a fertile region 1.5 hours from Rome. One of them is Jagjit Singh, a polite, reserved man who seldom smiles, and when he does, only fleetingly. 12 years ago, friends from their village in India told Jagjit Singh about Latina, about the good money he could earn picking fruit and vegetables. Back then, it seemed like a good idea to Jagjit, who was in his early 20s.
I pawned gold jewellery belonging to my wife and sister to pay for the trip here. I thought I'd earn the money back quickly and retrieve the jewellery, but to pay off the loan, we had to sell the gold instead. Almost everyone who comes here goes through the same thing. Reality is very different from what we expected.
Jagjit shrugs. In Italy, the official minimum wage is about €9 an hour, but many farms pay less than a third of that to the fruit pickers. Many Indians work 7 days a week, during harvest time up to 12, 13 hours a day. Activists told DW that many workers turn to drugs to endure the monotonous and back-breaking work. Many take opium, amphetamines and muscle relaxants. Many leave their families behind and stay in Italy for years. As her youngest son, a lanky teenager, looks on, Jagjit's wife Mandeep, a diffident, quiet woman, clutches her handkerchief as she recalls how she was left to fend for herself and her 9-month-old son when her husband first set out for Italy.
It was difficult for me to be alone for so many years. My son was so small. He wasn't even 1 year old when Jagjit left. Life was difficult when we had to travel. Even easy household things, everything.
As Mandeep dabs at her tears, Jagjit stares ahead, looking uncomfortable. Later, Jagjit takes us for a drive, pointing to workers bent over plants, their turbans bright splashes of colour against the lush green fields.
This is where I work. They grow plums here, but they won't allow you in with a camera because the owners are thieves. We were free in India. I had my own business. I could come to work late and go home early if I had other things to do. Here, it's different. Here, you're only paid for the hours you work. But I'm doing better than others. Some earn only €3.50 per hour. I get €5.50.
Jagjit Singh is more outspoken than many, maybe because he finally paid off his debts and no longer has to share a small flat with 4 or 5 other men, as so many of the workers do. He's doing relatively well. He speaks fluent Italian, and while most men cycle to work along the dark, winding roads at the crack of dawn and risk being hit by speeding drivers, Jagjit owns a small car. And having brought his wife and 2 sons to Italy a few months ago, he's now able to rent a modest bungalow for his family. His 2 sons will soon start high school in Italy. Others are less lucky. Investigators say many workers are trapped in their illegal jobs at the mercy of criminal gangs. The majority of them have taken loans worth thousands of euros to people smugglers in exchange for forged papers and passage to Italy. As a result, many end up as bonded labourers who need years to work their way out of their debts. Stop at any field in Latina and try to talk to the workers, and it doesn't take long for an irate middlesman to appear.
You took a picture of the car number.
Okay, let's
go. That's the other one coming from the other side.
A small car suddenly pulls out of a driveway. It veers across the narrow lane in an unsuccessful attempt to force our car to brake.
Might be following us, yes. He is.
The small car careers behind us, following us onto a bigger road until we draw up alongside a police patrol parked at a petrol station. The Italian authorities are aware of the pervasive criminal networks in the region. Agricultural produce makes up Italy's second largest export sector. It's a lucrative business. In Latina, the provincial capital, a police unit was set up to fight against the perpetrators and help victims. Camina Mosca, a jaunty policeman who sports a crisp uniform, heads the unit from a cluttered office, folders stacked on his desk, books spilling from shelves.
It's certainly a system of organized crime and illegal immigration. Mainly Indians who work with Italians to bring people over and to get them fake papers, fake residence permits, fake visas, fake passports, everything. It is a flourishing market.
He leafs through the folder of a recent investigation, pointing to pictures of false documents.
Perfetta, guarda.
According to Mosca, while the Italian mafia isn't directly involved in the human trafficking and exploitation, it controls the transport of fruit and vegetables to Europe. Rather, it's Indian middlemen who cooperate with Italian criminal networks to acquire the false documents. The middlemen, or caporale, seek out the workers, then keep part of their wages and dictate their work hours, all of which is illegal in Italy.
It's difficult to break the system, but there's always somebody willing to testify. Sometimes workers talk because they're scared of being deported to India. Others are angry with the middlemen. There are many reasons. But it's hard to find good interpreters. They're also part of the community, and they're scared of cooperating with the police, denouncing people, and helping us to arrest other Indians.
And the networks operate all across Italy. African and East European migrants, too, are picking fruit and vegetables for meagre pay.
Hi, hello.
We contact one company, one of the biggest radish producers in Europe, to confront them with the accusations of middlemen and exploitation. They agree to show us around, claiming they have nothing to hide.
Allora.
The company's head of admin and finance, Patrizio Taraio, an earnest, friendly man, points to pictures of Indian and Italian workers at the latest company party that line the walls of the small canteen, while next door, bright red radishes tumble from a conveyor belt. He bristles at the accusations.
None of that is true. That contradicts our company philosophy. If we found anyone was doing this, we would fire them immediately. We are not among the firms that exploit their workers.
But activists and workers insist that this company also pays its workers below the minimum wage and that middlemen are active there too. It's one person's word against another. The workers in the company's greenhouses themselves won't comment. With their boss looking on, they're too scared. Back in Jagjit's kitchen, his wife is cooking dinner. The smell of Indian spices wafts through the small house. Two young men are making chapatis. They've been working in Italy for years, but still haven't managed to save enough money to pay for their families to join them. But despite everything, they're determined to stay because the money they earn in Italy is still far more than they could ever make back home. And so, as ever more Indian workers make Italy their home, they've created a parallel world, separate from that of the Italians, with whom they have little contact outside of work. Over the years, they have opened stores and small restaurants and two Sikh temples. After dinner, Jagjit and his oldest son make their way to one of them, a huge drab hall surrounded by fields. Inside, it's deserted, but for one man sitting behind a huge dais, decorated with flowers and bright orange fabric, quietly reciting. Jagjit prays, then sits in a corner.
Sometimes I wonder about the people who eat our vegetables. I know that the fruit and vegetables are exported to Germany, to restaurants there. I often wonder if the people there ever spare a thought for us and our working conditions.
For DW, this is Naomi Conrad in Latina, Italy.
DW.